This is The Spark. I'm Martha Woodruff. Bob Satterwhite's been hosting Bob's Record Shelf on Monday evenings for the last 20 years. A couple of weeks ago, he called me, all excited about a new classical recording that has local relevance. Bob asked if I'd like to interview the composer. No way, I said. You do.
So, Bob Satterwhite here. Composer Rick Sowash of Cincinnati actually wrote his piece, Four Places on the Appalachian Trail, 20 years ago, but it's only recently been recorded. Since it's musically tied to our area, I called Rick up and asked how he came to write music about the Appalachian Trail in the first place.
I myself was a radio broadcaster. I don't know if you know that, but I was a radio broadcaster and at a classical music radio station in Central Ohio for several years. And during that time, when I was responsible for choosing music to share with the listeners, I was struck by how many of our great national resources here in America are not celebrated in our music. For example, the Great Lakes, containing 20% of the fresh water in the world, and there is no Great Lakes Suite by Aaron Copland or Samuel Barber. So as a composer, I began to look about for opportunities where I might be able to write some music that would express how we feel about these great national resources. And one of the greatest is the Appalachian Trail. Here's this magnificent footpath that goes 2,100 miles from Georgia to Maine. And yet, so far as I know, no American composer has ever written a note about the Appalachian Trail. Well, why not? I mean, it's a magnificent thing, and I myself am a trail enthusiast. I've done a lot of backpacking in my day. I've hiked about 250 miles of the trail, I suppose, altogether over the years on different hikes. And as I thought about that, and I began to think about some of the great locations on the Appalachian Trail that I had visited, a piece of music began to come into my mind, and I resolved to be the one to write a piece that would celebrate the Appalachian Trail.
Okay.
I settled on writing a piece for French horn, violin, cello, and piano, because I thought the horn, more than any other instrument, catches that feeling of mountains. You know, there's something about a majestic horn call that calls us up out of our armchairs and makes us want to go pull on our hiking boots and go out with a stick and hike the trail. Also, I wanted to have that cushion of strings behind it. And then there's no instrument like the piano to give you a sense of landscape, a big, broad landscape, all the 88 keys there from the lowest to the highest, and it gives you that feeling of spacious grandeur. So those four instruments seem to me to be perfect for the piece Four Places on the Appalachian Trail. And then I got down to the business of actually trying to depict the four places. Amicalola Falls down in Georgia, where the trail begins. I devised some cascading music for that. And also a kind of inspiring, hopeful music, like you're at the beginning of an epic journey. And then the second movement is Dragon's Tooth over in Virginia, your part of the world. Magnificent outcropping of rock. It's a haul to get up there as a hiker, and when I hiked up there, I was carrying a 40-pound pack on my back. But once you're up there, what a great view, and what an experience. And it has that kind of dragon energy in the title, even Dragon's Tooth. Then up in Massachusetts and Connecticut, on the very border, is Sage's Ravine. And you think of sages, you know, what is a sage? It's a wise person. And what is a wise person? It's a person that can reconcile joy and sorrow. And so the music attempts to offer a musical metaphor for the reconciliation of joy and sorrow. And you hear the two meeting each other and being fit together into a pleasing pattern. Finally, of course, Katahdin, the distant mountain that all the thru-hikers are hoping to get to up in Maine. And that movement is very rough and rocky in places, and yet you also have these moments when you come out and there's a wonderful view, and there's a theme that is mostly in half notes that expresses the dim line of mountains when you see them rising tier upon tier in shades of blue to the far horizon.
Been to all four of these places?
All but Katahdin. I've seen Katahdin from a distance, but Katahdin remains for me a distant dream. You know, it's a place you might hike someday,
yeah.
But I've never actually made the climb.
Okay.
I've written music about it, though. So that gives you an answer, I think.
Okay. You've been a composer for quite a while, haven't you?
50 years.
50
I started.
Years.
I wrote my first piece of music really when I was 12. And I'm 62 now, and I've written orchestral and choral and chamber and solo pieces, and yeah, I'm a composer, sure as shooting.
Okay, now my limited contact with living composers, I know that it's not easy to persevere as a composer. Why have you done it for so long?
Well, you know, somebody asked Schubert why he wrote music. Why compose music? There's already such a lot of great stuff already written. Why do you want to bother putting notes down on a piece of paper? What's the point? And he gave a great answer. He said, to improve reality. And I think every composer worth their salt, when they write a new piece of music, they really believe that reality is going to be improved just a little bit for just a few people that will ever be hearing it. And so I think what's kept me going is that, the idea that I can bring something that's going to nourish a listener somewhere.
Okay.
Going to improve reality for them.
All right. To get your pieces recorded, specifically the Appalachian Trail piece, what do you have to go through to arrange for that to happen?
Well, I've done 15 CDs of my music, and I produce them myself, and I send them out to radio stations like yours. And over the course of doing that for the last 25 years, I've gotten to know a lot of people in broadcasting, in classical music broadcasting all over America. One of those is a gentleman who's a music director and now the program manager, the station manager at WBAA in West Lafayette, Indiana. He's a pianist named Greg Kostraba. He plays in a trio for violin, French horn, and piano. And he contacted me. He said, we love your music. We played on the station here. Have you ever written anything for violin, French horn, and piano? And I wrote back to him, and I said, no, but if you can find a cello, I have written a quartet for violin, French horn, cello, and piano. It's called Four Places on the Appalachian Trail. And he said, well, great, we can find the cellist, so send us the music. So I sent the music. They loved the piece, just loved it. And got back with me and said, has this piece ever been recorded? And I said, no. But if you'd like to, I'd love to have it recorded. And they would like to, it turned out. And so they sat themselves down and rehearsed it and mastered it and played it in public a few times and then went into a studio. And by golly, they recorded it and sent me the tracks, which I incorporated in a new CD that's just come out this fall called Vistas, Music Celebrating American Landscapes. And Four Places on the Appalachian Trail is recorded and featured with these musicians. And so you see, it started with radio. You know, I don't know if people realize how important radio is to a composer. If I can get a piece played in a concert hall somewhere, maybe 100 people or 200 people might hear it. If it's a big symphony hall, maybe 500 people. But if it's broadcast on a radio station, thousands of listeners can hear it for free, and in a way that comes right into their lives while they're cooking supper, you know, or while they're driving somewhere in their car. The music is there with them, their companion. New music by a living American composer, that's a priceless thing. And how else would I get my music to those folks? I mean, what am I going to do, walk up and down the streets of Harrisonburg and pass out CDs to strangers?
What is it like to compose the trail music or any of your music when you hear it recorded, when you have that CD and you're
listening?
Well,
I'll tell you what it's like. Wow, I wrote that, and I can hardly believe it. It's beautiful, you know, and where did that come from? How did I do that? I don't even know.
You can hear all of the brand new recording of Rick Sowash's Four Places on the Appalachian Trail this Monday evening during the 8 o'clock hour of Bob's Record Shelf. And you'll find a link to Rick's website on the Spark page at WMRA.org.